You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 24th, 2022, the 30-member NATO alliance today, through the Secretary General, calling on China to abandon any plans to support Russia, and ask that China use its significant influence to broker peace. In fact, the NATO Secretary General said, Beijing should use its significant influence on Russia and promote an immediate peaceful resolution. No direct response from Beijing so far. China repeatedly claiming that it respects international law under the UN along with the state's right to sovereignty. But, of course, China is also our enemy, an enemy of all in the West, and China has its own visions upon taking parts of the South China Sea back and claiming the territory, Taiwan, Hong Kong. So they understand the mindset of Putin saying he wants all the old USSR countries back. President Biden is in Brussels for that NATO meeting, and there he said that he's going to open the doors to 100,000 migrants from Ukraine. 3 million, an estimated 3 million, have flooded into Poland and other nations as they rushed out of Ukraine the best they could. The numbers are staggering. That would be, in fact, the United Nations Children's Fund estimates the number even higher. They say of those evacuating, there are 4 million children. So when I say 3 million, I'm not sure if they were trying to say families or what, but if there are 4 million children, that would be more than half of the estimated child population in Ukraine. And the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, via video for the NATO reps, including President Biden to see, said, quote, to save people and our cities, Ukraine needs military assistance without restrictions. In fact, he's basically begging, just give us 1%, just 1% of what you'd give any NATO nation. Equipment, supplies, medical, and food have been sent into various areas of Ukraine, but not all of them. And the attack on Mariupol on the Black Sea continues to be devastating from reports coming out. And I still go back to the fact that as we watched the Russian troops begin to amass in Belarus before the invasion, before the first shot, and as we watched at least 7 of their ships move into the Black Sea south of Ukraine, we could have put additional weapons in to Ukraine then, and food and medical supplies. And then we would be gone when the shooting started. So we weren't really directly contributing. To do it now might push Putin to do even more escalation. American voters, by Fox polls, say that the U.S. should be doing more for Ukrainians. That's a 63-32% margin. 82% of Americans are concerned about the invasion. 76 approve of how Zelensky has been responding. And it's an issue Democrats and Republicans largely agree on. 90% of Democrats, 85% of Republicans, think that what happens in Ukraine does make a difference here at home. About 8 in 10 Democrats and Republicans approve of Zelensky. What do they want? Well, many majorities want to see continuing and increasing economic sanctions on Russia. That we should do. Oh, to that point, the Russian leader, Putin, issuing a demand. Any unfriendly countries, as he calls them, if you're going to buy gas from us, we want to be paid in rubles, not dollars or euros. And yes, some European countries are still getting energy supplied from Russia through Nord Stream 1. But Putin says there's no sense for us to pay goods going to the EU or US and just get dollars or euros. We want rubles, which a handful of pennies would cover a lot of gas for you with today's prices. Stand by for more.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When does life begin, in your opinion?
Senator, I don't know.
Ma'am?
I don't know.
Do you have a belief?
I have personal, religious, and otherwise beliefs that have nothing to do with the law in terms of when life begins.
Do you have a personal belief, though, about when life begins?
I have a religious view.
Religious belief?
That I set aside when I am ruling on cases.
Okay. When does equal protection of the laws attach to a human being?
Well, Senator, I believe that the Supreme Court, I actually don't know the answer to that question. I'm sorry.
Wow. She's really informed, isn't she? That is, of course, KBJ is now, you might be calling her, the future justice for the Supreme Court if she gets confirmed by the Senate. And I'm not so sure it's going to be that easy now in the face of some of the things that happened yesterday. And we got the chairman of the committee. They have wrapped, but the chairman of the committee, which is Democrat Patrick Leahy, blasting Republicans for some of their questions. Maybe that was one of the questions that he thought was unfair, asking her, can you tell us when life begins? And she can't seem to say, if there's a heartbeat, there's life, be it an animal, a creature from outer space, a person, and I use the word person right now because we have to decide if she really does know what a woman is or not in a moment. We'll come to that question. Today, the panel heard testimony from the American Bar Association and outside witnesses that were for and against her being confirmed. The vote is expected from the Senate Judiciary Committee on April 4 for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. She's already a federal court member, but this is, of course, for the U.S. Supreme Court. I read to you yesterday of those who are serving on this hearing between Republicans, just Republicans, and it's equally divided. The ranking member for the Republicans, Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, out of the Republicans for her prior federal confirmation, only one senator now sitting in judgment for her for this next position voted for her to be on the federal court at all. That was Senator John Cornyn of Texas. The rest of them, Graham, Lee, Cruz, Sass, Hawley, Cotton, Kennedy, Tillis, Marshall Blackburn, all of them said no. So now the events have wrapped up. But it's not done yet. They're going to be a final Senate floor, which is yet to be scheduled after the committee votes April 4. The Senate Democrat leaders say they hope to have a vote confirming her as a Supreme Court justice before Easter. That's what they would like. And, of course, if by chance it comes down 50-50 in the Senate, 50 saying yes, she can be confirmed, 50 saying no, and that is the division between Republicans and Democrats, you know who gets the deciding vote? Vice President Harris. So if it comes down to that, then it's obviously going to be she gets the job. Senator McConnell was being accused by some Democrats of some of those questions by Republicans just weren't fair. It wasn't nice. Well, they did not go after her character in any way, as we saw the Democrats go against Amy Coney Barrett, her religion, plus the fact that she had adopted two black children. She's helping their lives, and they want to criticize her for that? Well, you're a white person. You can't adopt black people. What? And, of course, the Brett Kavanaugh story. And they continue, even to this day, Democrats talk about, well, of course, Kavanaugh was facing alleged charges, complaints of serial rape. Well, he never faced any real charges but allegations. And in one exchange on CNN, or maybe MSNBC or whatever, one of the state-controlled operations, one of the supposedly smarter than you, people that get a chance to do those shows, were saying, well, nobody went after Judge Jackson on things like they did with Justice Kavanaugh. And this person said, well, yeah, she's not accused of serial raping. And, of course, there was never any proof on Kavanaugh. It's just, what can we do? But Senate Minority Leader McConnell said, for all of those in the Democrats complaining about this process and ignoring how they treated Kavanaugh and Justice Amy Coney Barrett, he said the last 48 hours were a dry and friendly legal seminar compared to the circus the Democrats inflicted on the country just a few years back. I would agree. And then, of course, we come to that question, the question that stood out and said more about this woman's ability to be either fair and or conscious. It came from Senator Blackburn of Tennessee.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law and I decide.
Well,
so I'm not.
The fact that you can't give me a straight answer about something as fundamental as what a woman is underscores the dangers of the kind of progressive education that we are hearing about.
And she couldn't do it. And part of the question that came from Justice, or rather from Senator Blackburn for Judge Jackson was, based upon comments made by another woman on the Supreme Court in the past, liberal, that would be Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg had been quoted, referenced the Virginia Military Institute's policy of only admitting men. And Justice Ginsburg wrote the opinion of the court, which basically said there are physical differences between men and women that are enduring. We said yesterday, and I know you agree, you've got basically Judge Jackson saying, I can't give you a definition. I'm not a biologist. Are you a biologist? But do you still know the difference between a man and a woman? I almost wish that Senator Blackburn had followed up. Well, then can you tell me what 2 + 2 is? Would Judge Jackson then say, well, I don't know, I'm not a mathematician. It's that fundamental. It is that fundamental. And she can't answer such a fundamental, basic question. Tucker Carlson, in his monologue last night, certainly had some fun with it as well. And listen to how he put it, and how he says, Judge Jackson should have really liked this question, although we all know now that it's blown up in her face and made her and all of the progressives around her look pretty stupid.
Now imagine, put yourself in her position, and imagine how relieved Jackson must have been when she heard that question. Here she stayed up all night trying to memorize obscure case law from the 19th century and court precedent. And when she finally gets to the hearing room, all the Republicans want is a recap of day one of ninth grade biology. What's a woman? For a world-famous scholar like Ketanji Jackson, that should have been effortless. Talk about slow and steady right down the plate. A woman? Jackson might have said, looking incredulous. That's simple. A woman is a human being with two X chromosomes. Ask any geneticist. It's detectable in a blood test. Joe Biden nominated me to the Supreme Court because I am female, and he has said so himself many times. The president knows exactly what a woman is. If he didn't know, he wouldn't have picked me, obviously. So please, Senator Blackburn, do not waste my time. With all respect, that is an incredibly stupid question. Imagine if she said that. What an answer that would have been. Do you know a single person who wouldn't have cheered?
I like that. I mean, really, if she had answered in that way and then accused Blackburn of, that's a stupid question to be asking me. Well, it wasn't such a stupid question, was it? It was a revealing question, showing how whacked out these progressives can be. Can't even define what a woman is. And yet, Judge Jackson referred and used the term woman 14 times in the first 2 days of her hearings. In her opening statement, day one, I stand on the shoulders of so many who have come before me, including Judge Constance Baker Motley, who was the first African-American woman to be appointed to the bench. So she knew that was a woman. She later said Roe and Casey are settled law of the Supreme Court concerning the right to terminate a woman's pregnancy. So she acknowledged that. She also invoked the concept of womanhood on herself. Said, I'm humbled and honored to have the opportunity to serve in this capacity, to be the first and only black woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. And then adding, because I am a woman, because I am a black woman, all of these things people have said have been really meaningful to them. And as she also said, Biden said he was going to find a black woman to appoint to the bench. He wouldn't have picked me if I weren't black and a woman. So she knows. But these whacked out progressives, and these are the ones that are going to be teaching your kids in school what is a woman, are not. These are the ones that want to push transgender and sex change in front of your children as young as they can. And Judge Jackson sits on a board of a private school that does teach similar things and CRT, and yet she said, as a board member, I don't really have anything to do with the curriculum of the school, which makes me think that she apparently is a very irresponsible board member or knows to toe the line. And can she be a Supreme Court justice if she doesn't know what a woman is? An interesting piece appearing in The Federalist I want to share with you when we continue.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So yesterday we learned that the woman who could be the next Supreme Court justice, oh, I shouldn't have called her a woman, should I? Because she doesn't know she's a woman. At least she couldn't answer the question from Senator Blackburn. Can you define the word woman? I can't. I'm not a biologist. As I said earlier, if she had asked her what's 2 plus 2 and she answered 4, would that make her a mathematician? Do you know the difference? I'll just ask you. Do you know the difference between a dog and a horse? Are you a biologist? Well, of course you're not. That's common sense. It's common sense when it comes to the difference between what makes a man and what makes a woman. Oh, they can have operations and change things, but what they're born with, you're just changing. You're not actually creating. Kyle Salmon writes for The Federalist, and he points out that if trial courts must call on biologists every time the subject of sex comes up, and by that he means gender, it's hard to see how justice can be done. And he was talking about the fact that Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson could not provide a definition of the word woman. And he adds, it might seem like a question that goes more to politics and the job of a judge, but when sex discrimination is frequently before the court, including just last year in Bostock v. Clayton County, it behooves a judge to have an inkling of what sex means. And, of course, Senator Blackburn had asked Judge Jackson about a statement by Justice Ginsburg when she was on the court. As she pointed out, physical differences between men and women are enduring. In other words, they are what they are. And Senator Blackburn asked, do you agree with Justice Ginsburg? There are physical differences between men and women that are enduring. And the response from Judge Jackson was, I'm not familiar with that particular quote or case. Well, according to Kyle Salmon, that's very strange that she would be that stupid on that point, because it was would have been her third year of law school, a hot topic of discussion in 1996. It involved the U.S. v. Virginia Military Institute's policy only admitting men. And at the time, Jackson, in her third year of law school, was editor of the Harvard Law Review, and she didn't even know anything about this case or the quote from Ginsburg, that particular quote. Now, she might not remember certain details, but certainly she would remember, or should. Judge Ginsburg admitted there's a difference between men and women. And the more recent Bostick v. Clay County, they're considering a landmark U.S. Supreme Court civil rights case that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act protects employees against discrimination because they're gay or transgender. And in a 6-3 decision in June 2020, the court ruled discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, that would be gender, or gender identity, is necessary and necessarily also discrimination because of sex, as prohibited by Title VII. Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote the majority opinion to say that you cannot discriminate because of someone because of their sexual preference and or their physical sex. Many are saying it's a most important legal decision regarding LGBT rights in the U.S. So there will be sex discrimination cases coming at some point before this Judge Jackson, if she makes it to the Supreme Court. Are we going to have a biologist come in and have to tell her what is a woman and a man so she has a better understanding of the case? Do I hear you saying how stupid? And that's a polite way of saying it. I agree with you. Coming up, the story that the New York Times said was bogus from the beginning, but then suddenly has turned around and said, oh yeah, that Hunter laptop story, that's all true. Why the change? Well, there's a suggestion that perhaps Hunter Biden is getting ready to face some jail time, and Team Biden decided to help the New York Times turn the corner so they can kind of separate Daddy Joe from son Hunter. Interesting take. That's coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Non-Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The New York Times ran this piece where they admitted the laptop was real. That was in paragraph 17 or 18. But the story was basically about the grand jury looking into Hunter Biden. And the New York Times got a lot of cooperation from Team Biden. And they were clearly trying to position themselves on the assumption that Hunter Biden is, in fact, going to be indicted.
That is pretty big, if true. You were listening at that point to Peter Schweizer, the author of the book Red Handed, which has been exposing and following a lot of the Biden, Hunter Biden money and any connections to Papa Joe. And of course, he's talking about how now the New York Times finally got around and admitted the story in the New York Post that happened and broke just before the election was fact. But, of course, at that time, the New York Times dismissed it. National Public Radio's managing editor for news said, "We don't waste our time on stories. They're not really stories." The CNN had the anatomy, the piece they called The Anatomy of the New York Post Dubious Hunter Biden Story. The Washington Post headline, "The Truth Behind the Hunter Biden Non-Scandal." The New York Times had stated Trump had one last story to sell. The Wall Street Journal wouldn't buy it. Inside the White House secret last-ditch effort to change the narrative in the election was to bring about the Hunter laptop story. And the New York Times, 17 months ago, was insisting it's all fabrication. And we, the New York Times, we are the newspaper of record. And it's not real. The most recent headline that turned everything around was the Times stating Hunter Biden paid tax bill, but broad federal investigation continues. That's what Schweitzer was referring to. That was a headline, and they had a subheadline. The Justice Department inquiry into the business dealings of the president's son has remained active, with a grand jury seeking information about payments from around the world. But you have to go, according to Schweitzer, 17 to 20 plus paragraphs down the story, down in the story, before you begin to see they talk about the laptop and say the New York Times obtained emails from a cache of files that appears to come from a laptop abandoned by Mr. Biden in a Delaware repair shop. The email and others identified were authenticated by people familiar with them. In other words, it was an about-face for the Times to say, yes, yes, the Hunter laptop from hell is real. The question then, of course, is the timing. Well, we know the timing in the sense that they wanted to deny it when Joe Biden was running for office. Oh, it's just more Russian collusion stuff involving Trump. And in fact, 50 different intel agencies or former leaders in the intel community, I should say, signed off on a letter and stating clearly this is just more Russian collusion. They just simply bought into the line, or they were willing to help push it without caring what the facts were. 50 different members of intel just went with the idea that, yeah, this is all fake. Well, now, for the New York Times to come up with a story now about Hunter Biden paying the tax bill, but a federal investigation continues, they had to get out certain parts of the story kind of fleshed out, as you say. They buried the story that the laptop was real down in the column, but to write the rest of the article, Schweitzer says they basically had to get help from, quote, Team Biden. And then the question is, why would, quote, Team Biden help the New York Times do such a story? It's damaging to Hunter and Father Joe, and unless they're looking to start turning the corner now to separate Hunter Biden from his father for protection efforts. Peter Schweitzer was on with Jesse Waters, who raised the question.
If dirty money was coming in from overseas, untaxed money, and was funneling its way into Joe's pockets, what does that mean in terms of his criminal exposure?
Well, it means a couple of things. First, you've got the whole national security component of this, because remember, the money that's coming in from Beijing is coming from four businessmen who funnel at least $31 million to the Bidens. That's in the laptop. And when you look at those four businessmen, each and every one of them, Jesse, has ties to the highest levels of Chinese intelligence.
Wow. Each of them has ties to the highest levels of Chinese intelligence. So if, in fact, he took money from them and in turn gave money to Daddy Joe, the big guy, as apparently was referred to in some of the emails, Peter Schweitzer says that brings up another big issue, primarily for Joe Biden.
But in terms of Joe Biden's legal problems, he was getting subsidized by his son, paying the monthly bills, paying for renovations on his home up in Delaware. That's not allowed. A federal law does not allow politicians to be subsidized by family members. But you have the other issue of who's paying the taxes. If you give money to somebody above $15,000 a year, somebody's got to pay the gift tax on that. Did Joe Biden pay that money? Did he claim that money on his income? No. If you look at the tax returns, his financial disclosures, he did not.
So that means Joe Biden could be considered a tax evader? You can avoid taxes. That's legal. If you have a way to do something that helps avoid taxes, that's legal. Evading taxes is hiding information and not reporting stuff you should. That's the illegal part. And what Peter Schweitzer is saying, that if all this money came from Hunter, even if it didn't come from Russia or China, regardless of the source, if he was paying all of that money, which is a violation itself, to a member of Congress, which Daddy was at one point, and or the VP, and Joe Biden didn't report receiving the money, then there's a tax issue there. So why would Team Biden suddenly be stepping in to help the New York Times come up with enough information to kind of flesh out the story of the investigation of Hunter? And, of course, knowing that the Times would find a way to really bury the lead, and that is that the Hunter laptop from hell does exist, is not a fabric of your imagination, is not something made up by Trump and Russian collusion efforts. Well, Peter Schweitzer says there's one answer to that question as to why Team Biden, maybe members of the White House, would be willing to help the New York Times get a story out about Hunter Biden at this point and his tax problems.
If you give money to somebody above $15,000 a year, somebody's got to pay the gift tax on that. Did Joe Biden pay that money? Did he claim that money on his income? No. If you look at the tax returns, his financial disclosures, he did not. So this gets messy real fast. And the question, Jesse, becomes, does Hunter Biden become the sacrificial lamb? Does he end up taking a plea deal that might even mean jail time in order to protect his father?
There you have it. Sacrificial lamb. And again, that's Peter Schweitzer appearing with Jesse Waters on Fox last night, talking about why members of Team Biden would even be helping the New York Times put a story together about Hunter Biden, unless it is to get some separation, because Hunter Biden might be facing an indictment in jail time unless he does a plea bargain, all that just to save Daddy. My boots on the ground correspondent Andrew had noticed this article in The Hill yesterday. I did too, didn't have time to devote to it. Titled Hunter Biden, the Protected Third Rail of Journalism, written by Joe Concha, opinion contributor to The Hill and also a Fox contributor, saying doing stories about Joe Biden, you're touching the third rail. Nobody wants to do that. Well, now maybe they do. They may not want to, but now it's being accepted. Previously, you would have been banned, wouldn't you? Speaking of being banned, that story coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rodner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rodner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or go to rottler.com.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. I'm gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Babylon Bee is a Christian satire site, and it's been locked down by Twitter. Because, again, now this is satire. It called the Transgender Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary, Dr. Rachel Levine, a man. Well, Dr. Rachel Levine wants to be identified as a woman. So Twitter shut down the Babylon Bee's Twitter account, claiming the Twitter support team has determined a violation took place. So the Babylon Bee was sentenced to Twitter jail over that article mocking the USA Today because they declared the biological male Rachel Levine is, quote, a woman of the year. But the Babylon Bee said the man of the year is Rachel Levine. And according to the Babylon Bee CEO Seth Dillon, we were told our account would be restored in 12 hours if we would take down the tweet because it violates Twitter rules. Dillon said, we're not deleting anything. Truth is not hate speech. If the cost of telling the truth is a loss of our Twitter account, then so be it. Twitter also then ramped up its censoring spree, locking down Babylon Bee editor-in-chief, the Babylon Bee founder, and all of their accounts. But apparently the editor-in-chief account finally got lifted. Twitter even censored Tucker Carlson because he posted screenshots of the tweets on the air. And Charlie Kirk, who precedes me on these days, because he called Rachel Levine a man. Both of them are saying, you're censoring us because we're telling the truth? And the truth is hateful conduct? Well, of course, as you know, some weeks ago, we had started a Larry Connors USA YouTube channel and live streaming during the program. A lot of folks like it because they were able to see live, and kind of for them, it brought back the days, the decades I was on TV. Well, we just started growing it, and we're messing around with it, not sure how best to go about it, so I wasn't putting a big push into it. But then we put up on that YouTube live stream one day talking, raising questions about the 2020 election. And if I recall right, it wasn't that I said it was an out-and-out fraud or anything like that, but I was quoting someone else. Now, you could say, well, it wasn't fraudulent, so that's not true. Or you could say it was fraudulent and it was true. I don't really care at that point. What I care about is the fact that because I even quoted someone else in their remarks, YouTube decided to shut down the Larry Connors USA live stream. But I will tell you this, the Larry Connors USA YouTube account still exists. You can go to it right now. I'm looking at it. And ironically, even though we last streamed 2 weeks ago, I see the last stream we put up has 131 views. It didn't have but maybe 30 the day we got shut down. And we were just starting it, so there wasn't a lot of effort being put into it at my part or my team. We were just trying to get it up and use another vehicle to reach out. A lot of folks have said, well, why don't you just switch to Rumble? We've been talking about working on it. I've established an account at Rumble. In fact, I'm on Rumble. Larry Connors USA. Everything's branded the same way. Not hard to find me. I don't know if we're going to do it again or not, but look at what happened with the Babylon Bee, and everyone else has been put in Facebook jail. And I'm thinking, I thought they were trying to shut me off right then. Okay, good. They thought they were trying to wrap the program early. No. You don't touch this program. You could try, but we'll fight you back. I'm not going to simply accept. But folks are saying, you got banned also by YouTube. You got a problem. It's a badge of courage. I said, well, actually, they hand them out like pieces of candy on a parade float. So I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. Listen, I could say I've been thrown out of better bars than this one anyway, so go ahead. But I will also take time to say, despite YouTube's ban of the live stream and other things we've encountered, they'd already gone after me on one other program when we weren't even live streaming because I had members of Trump's original team fighting the elections on. They said, you do that again, we'll shut you off. This is what we pay for in this country. This is our freedom. And yet if you want to claim LGBT or you want to do whatever you want to say against someone else, you want to call someone else racist because you're black and they're white, I mean, you're allowed to do all that, and that's not hate crime. Get a grip. And to many of you, all of you, listening and sharing with your friends that we're on the air, thank you. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.